for achieving loving service unto me. Purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda's disciples. Although Lord Krishna previously described bhakti yoga to Sri Uddhava, Uddhava is not yet satisfied because he loves Lord Krishna. Anyone who loves the Lord cannot be fully satiated by discussions of devotional service mixed with descriptions of mere Vedic duties and analytic philosophy. The supreme stage of conscious existence is pure love of Krishna. And one who is addicted to Lord Krishna desires to constantly drink the nectar of such topics. Lord Krishna has given an extensive survey of many aspects of human civilization, including the Varnashram Dharma system and the processes of distinguishing between matter and spirit, renouncing sense gratification, and so forth. Now Uddhava is hankering to hear specifically about pure devotional service to Lord Krishna, and the Lord thus turns to that topic. So we're doing the next five verses, which are all together here. We can chant these together. Shadhamrita katayam me shashwan madanu kirtanam parinishtha cha pujayam stuti bistavanam mama adara paricharyayam sarvangera bivandanam madbhakta pujabhyatika sarvabhuteshu manmati Marate Swanga Chishtacha Vachasa Madhuneranam Mayarpanam Jamanasa Sarvakana Vivarjanam Maratirta Parityago Bhogasya Cha Sukhasya Cha Ishtam Dattam Hutam Japtam Marartam Yadvratam Tapa Evam dharme manushyanam udvat atma nivedinam mai sanjayate bhakti konyorto sva shishyate. Now this is a long list, and what the list is about doesn't come until the end of the list, so I'll tell you what it's about. These constitute actual religious principles by which those human beings who have actually surrendered themselves to me automatically develop love for me. So that's what this is a list of. Religious principles by which human beings who are surrendered can develop love for Krishna. Translation. Firm faith in the blissful narrations of my pastimes. Constant chanting of my glories. Unwavering attachment to ceremonial worship of me, praising me through beautiful hymns, great respect for my devotional service, offering obeisances with the entire body, performing first-class worship of my devotees, consciousness of me in all living entities, offering of ordinary bodily activities in my devotional service, use of words to describe my qualities, offering the mind to me, rejection of all material desires, giving up wealth for my devotional service, renouncing material sense gratification and happiness, and performing all desirable activities such as charity, sacrifice, chanting, vows and austerities with the purpose of achieving me. These constitute actual religious principles by which those human beings who have actually surrendered themselves to me automatically develop love for me. What other purpose or goal could remain for my devotee? Report. The words Madbhakta puja abhyadika are significant in this verse. Abhyadika indicates superior quality. The Lord is extremely satisfied with those who offer worship to his pure devotees, and he rewards them accordingly. Because of the Lord's generous appraisal of his pure devotees, worship of the pure devotees is described as superior to worship of the Lord himself. The words mad arte shvanga cheshta state that ordinary bodily activities, such as brushing the teeth, taking bath, eating, etc., should all be offered to the Supreme Lord as devotional service. The words vachasa mad guneranam indicate that whether one speaks in ordinary crude language or with learned poetic eloquence, one should describe the glories of the personality of Godhead. The words mad artherta parityaga indicate that one should spend one's money for festivals glorifying the personality of Godhead, such as Rath Yatra, Janmashtami, and Gaur Purnima. Also, one is herein instructed to spend money to assist the mission of one's spiritual master and other Vaishnavas. Wealth that cannot be used properly in the Lord's service and is thus an impediment to one's clear consciousness should be given up entirely. The word bhogasya refers to sense gratification, headed by sex enjoyment, and sukhasya refers to sentimental material happiness, such as excessive family attachment. The words dattam hutam indicate that one should offer to brahmanas and vaishnavas first-class foods cooked in ghee. One should offer the vibration swaha to Lord Vishnu in an authorized sacrificial fire along with grains and ghee. The word japtam indicates that one should constantly chant the holy names of the Lord. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I like the phrasing in the translation of the first verse, because you love me. O sinless Uddhava, because you love me, I previously explained to you the process of devotional service. Now I will again explain the supreme process for achieving loving service unto me. So Uddhava has heard enough of related topics, and he wants to hear the straight Krishna Katha. Just like we also, devotees like to hear the nectar sometimes. Philosophy is one thing, but we like the nectar. So Uddhava wants to hear the nectar. One thing interesting earlier in the Bhagavatam, at one point when Vidura is speaking to Maitreya, says, I've had enough of all these other topics, give me the nectar. And then what does Uddhava do? He starts talking about the creation. And he kind of says, oh, wait, I'll get to the nectar, but you have to wait a little. I'm going to talk about these other things first. So, and then in the purport to this first verse that we read, it says, those who are addicted to Krishna, they constantly want to drink that nectar. This is, of course, a nice metaphor, because someone who's addicted to alcohol, for example, constantly wants to drink that non-nectar. And they can't give it up. They just want more and more and more of it. So devotees, they never tire of it. One thing I've noticed in listening to the Bhagavatam, I listen to it a lot, translation, is that there are many places where we hear about glorification of the nectar of the Bhagavatam, and mostly it's coming from the hearers, Shonaka Rishi and Preekshit Maharaj and so on. It's not that the speaker, of course, also in different places is saying these things, but often it's the audience who is saying, just, you know, that's really nectar, can you give some more? And hearing the Bhagavatam cures us of material existence and so many things, ways the Bhagavatam is glorified. It's often coming from the hearers of the Bhagavatam. So then in these five verses that we read, there's this whole list. In fact, I numbered them here. There's the list of items that are really there. Bhakti yoga is the point here. Actually, I also like that the way this is stated here. Those who are surrendered, who are actually surrendered by doing these things, will develop love for me. And it made me think how we often think of these two things as the same, surrender and love. We have to surrender to Krishna, we say. But the way it's being presented here, it's as if the surrender is the beginning. First you have to surrender, then you can start developing love for Krishna. In fact, we talk about, in many ways we may be thinking, well, I'm kind of working my way there to surrender to Krishna. But really, when you take up Krishna consciousness, you accept the spiritual master, you have to surrender from day one, basically. That's what it means to accept the spiritual master. I'm not my own man anymore, my own woman anymore. The spiritual master owns my life now. So that's surrender right from the beginning. Guru Padashriya is the smart, that you have to take shelter. That's the very first of the 64 principles of devotional service, that you surrender yourself to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. So then, from that, that's how you begin the process. Another way of putting it is you can say, you surrender to the process. Otherwise, it's not going to work. If you don't surrender to the process, you're not going to be successful. You have to say, yes. I know when I came to Krishna consciousness, I met the devotees, and I kind of came quickly, very quickly, actually. I basically came from McDonald's to being a devotee, pretty much. Nothing in between. So many devotees that went to this yoga, that yoga, and I was just a complete 100%, I won't even say, karmi. Then a week later, I was chanting 16 rounds. But it was because I was convinced when I heard the devotees, I spent a whole day with the devotees at the temple, and they were, explaining the philosophy. And I thought, I saw how the devotees were living so austere, and I thought, wow, this is going to be really hard, but well, I have to try it. It just seems so convincing. So it was like you might say that was kind of a surrender. Well, I'm going to try this. I'm going to surrender to this process and see what happens. And I'm still waiting to see what's going to happen, but takes a while. So this list of things that are part of bhakti yoga can say how we get Krishna. There are 15 of them. So I'm just going to go through these again so we can remember some of these. The first one is firm faith in blissful narrations of my pastimes. So this is nice. Shraddha. So of course, Shraddha, faith. It begins with faith. You have to have some faith. So that's a nice beginning to this list. But what? Amrita Katha. The nectar, you have faith especially, and this is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. So I'm going to be quoting from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary also on some of these. He doesn't comment on all of them, but he comments on some of them and adds a little to what we've heard in our purport. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, one should have intense faith in topics which are nectar. Though all topics of the Lord are sweet, one should have faith in the very sweet topics related to the Lord's rasas. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Prabhupada explains in his very first purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, his purport to the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur especially gives commentary from the point of view of the Adi Rasa. The Adi Rasa is Madhurya Rasa. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur likes to add that perspective when he's commenting on different verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he does that on the first verse. Actually, as I've mentioned before, he gives five different commentaries on the first verse of the Bhagavatam. And I think one or two of them have to... I know one of them specifically is about Radha Krishna Leela. He reads into that verse, he takes each word and he explains how it can be seen in this way. And one of the ways that it can be seen, or this phrase, or the whole verse can be seen, is about Radha and Krishna's conjugal pastimes. So Vishwanath Chakravarti gives that perspective on that. So that's what he has to say about this. We should especially have faith in Krishna's nectar pastimes. So the second one is constant chanting of my glories. Satatam kirtayanto mam. So this, of course, we hear in so many places that we should always be chanting about Krishna. The purpose of the tongue is to glorify Krishna. And kirtaniya sadahadi, we glorify Krishna by chanting his names and by speaking about him. And our tongue becomes purified, our senses become purified. Sevon mukha jivado swayam eva spuratyada. Spurati means that Krishna manifests himself on the tongue. Mukeshu parivartate. There's a phrase, this This, you know, Prabhupada says that Krishna will dance on your tongue. Literally, there's a verse, I forget where it's from, and Prabhupada quotes it in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Ashtakshara surupena mukeshu parivartate. When you chant the eight-syllable mantra, actually this eight-syllable mantra is Om Namo Narayanaya. Yeah, but Prabhupada says in one place, the eight-syllable, he translates it, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There's one translation where it's mentioned, the Ashtakshara mantra, and Prabhupada says, this is it. So when you chant that, Swarupena, what is it? You know that verse? Yeah. Well, anyway, it says, Ashtakshara Swarupena. So the Swarup of the mantra, Mukeshu Parivartate, is manifest on your tongue. Or is Prabhupada, Parivartate, I guess Pari means around, so Prabhupada took it as dancing around. Krishna's dancing around on your tongue when you chant this holy name. Yeah, mukha means mouth. Yeah, mukha means mouth. But mouth, tongue. So chanting, always chanting Krishna's glories, of course, that's so important for us. It's a good practice. I myself, I try to do this. I see other devotees doing it. I always sing when I'm cooking or walking around or just instead of spacing out, try to chant the Maha Mantra, keep the tongue going. It's probably like the devotees on the beads. Like he would mention, especially in the early days, he liked the devotees. They'd always be chanting, they're carrying their beads and chanting on their beads, which Prabhupada himself did, actually. A lot of times he was chanting on his beads. So the next one, unwavering attachment to ceremonial worship of me. We have our ceremonial worship as our arti. We should be attracted to that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings the beautiful arti ceremony of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was just reading in Mahadevi Swami's book, Appreciating Navadvipa Dham. So he has some, there are different, just like there's Ashtakaliya Lila Smarana, which means remembering the eight periods of Krishna's day, what Krishna's doing, and advanced devotees, they actually go into meditation and they meditate on these different periods of the day. So devotees have also written for Gaura Lila. So Rupa Goswami in his, all of Gaura's Leela is that when Lord Chaitanya wakes up, then he thinks of Krishna doing this. Then in the next period, he thinks of Krishna. Basically, he's thinking of Krishna's Ashtakaliya Leela. That's the way Rupa Goswami. Then there's another one, I forget, it may have been Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where he describes more about what actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing in his Leela throughout the day. And one of those is that he has arti offered to him in the evening. That's part of his Ashtakaliya Leela. So we're hearing about that in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, this beautiful scene. So the ceremonial worship of me. Number four, praising me through beautiful hymns. So hymns is a, this is bhajans. I don't know what the word is here, but of course we do that. We not only do we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but we have so many beautiful hymns written by our acharyas. Great respect for my devotional service. We have to respect bhakti. We always have to remember we pray in the Tulsi prayer, Seva Adhikar Diye. To give me the privilege of devotional service. We may think I can take it or leave it, but it's not up to us to get Krishna's service. Krishna has to give us the service. It's like if you want a job, you have to go and you have to apply and maybe you'll be accepted. And sometimes it's very difficult. I remember hearing one time, this was years ago, I don't know if it's the same way, but there was a job opening in India for some government job and he had 10,000 applicants for this one job. So to be Krishna's servant, there may be many applicants. Of course, unfortunately, these days there aren't. But to get that, to have the adhikar, to have the privilege of devotional service, we pray for that. We should be praying for it every day, especially to Tulsi Maharani, because she's one of the close associates of Krishna. She has his ear. She can help us get that privilege. So let's see, number six, offering obeisances with the entire body. Now this is Dandabhats. I was just reading this Ashtanga, which means eight parts. We offer obeisances with eight parts. There's a footnote in the, I was reading Baladev's commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, and Bhanu Swami, he mentions the eight parts. Two hands, two feet, the chest, the mouth, the mind, and the words. Is it this? No, I'm missing one. Oh, head. Is it head? Head, yeah. Yeah, so head. But then the parts, included in the parts is the voice and the mind. So when you offer your dandavats, you're supposed to say something. You're supposed to say prayers, prayer to the spiritual, just like we offer when we offer flowers to Prabhupada. And but then also mind, savadhana mate. You're supposed to actually be thinking about what you're saying. Of course, this is a kind of thing where we have to constantly remind ourselves and practice because it's so easy. We do it so many times. It's not all miserable. And we don't really think of what we're saying. So I always think a good practice is at least try to do it at certain times. When you're out, like this particular time, for example, when we do at the Guru Puja, I remind myself, okay, at least I'm not going to space out this time like I usually space out. This one time of day, let me think about what I'm saying this time. You know. So this is offering obeisances with the entire body, which includes the mind. That was number six. Number seven, performing first-class worship of my devotees. Now this line, I'm sure Dravida Prabhu knows, Prabhupada quotes it much. Madbhakta puja vyadika. This one line, out of all these, as far as I know, this is the only one that Prabhupada quoted. And he quotes it quite a bit, actually. He quotes it a lot. Now, you see here in the translation, let's see, what does it say here? Performing first-class worship of my devotees. So Prabhupada invariably translates this, and he would use it to say that Krishna says, worship of my devotees is greater than worship of me. Which is, I thought, well, maybe, you know, sometimes in Sanskrit, I come across this a lot, like editing Jiva Goswami. He'll say, well, you know, this adjective, there's more than one noun that it can modify, so this could be taken this way or that way. So I thought, well, maybe that's how Prabhupada is doing it, why Prabhupada is translating, not quite directly. But then this is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, which is actually, it's also mentioned in the purport, actually. One should worship the devotees extensively. So that's the way it's translated here. First class worship my devotees. Since one understands that this is more pleasing than worshiping me. So this is what Vishwanath says. So he kind of gives a purport or what it implies to worship the devotees extensively. So it's like Prabhupada took what it implies and made it the translation of the line, which he used over and over again in his preaching. So anyway, of course, this is very important. Krishna is saying, worship my devotees. I was also reading in the Krishna book recently, and this came up when we went through the 10th canto. I think it's mentioned in the purport. When Krishna goes to visit Bahulashva and Shrutadev, I think it's at Shrutadev's house. Yes, Bahulashva is the king, and Shrutadev is the poor brahmana, right? So Shrutadev, he's just overwhelmed by Krishna's presence, and he's glorifying Krishna. And of course, Krishna is accompanied by all these great sages. So how does Krishna respond? He's saying, these great sages are so great. And so basically, Krishna is giving the hint, don't just focus on me. You have to worship my devotees. You know, it's very nice. I'm glad you're excited I'm here and all that. But don't forget all my devotees here. Actually, it's quite interesting. I remember when we read that passage. Krishna has a big chariot, and they all piled on the chariot, and they all went with Krishna from Dwarka. Went to visit these devotees. So Krishna himself is always emphasizing that you have to worship my devotees. This is very important. Yes, of course. Lord Chaitanya said, dasa, dasa, nudasa. Govi bhartu, patakamalaro, dasa, dasa, nudasa. Actually, Prabhupada, just like the class we heard on Sunday, the lecture that was played in the morning, you can see Prabhupada, he kind of makes the point that being the servant of the servant refers to the parampara, because the guru is the servant of his, you know, his master, and then he's the servant of his, and so on. It goes back. So that's one way to understand this, dasa, dasa, nudasa. Okay, number eight, consciousness of me and all living entities. It's sometimes said that we offer obeisance, when we offer obeisances to someone, we're offering obeisances to Paramatma. This comes up in the Daksha Yajna story. Number nine, offering of ordinary bodily activities in my devotional service. So this one kind of stumped me when I first read it. I said, what? Even in the purport, it doesn't really elaborate on it. This is you offer things like bathing and brushing your teeth. I thought, what? When I go to brush my teeth, I'm supposed to say, dear Krishna, please accept my teeth brushing. And when you offer prasadam, you think, well, or boga, well, here's something Krishna can eat this, but brushing my teeth. So this is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. One offers bodily activities by understanding that one cleans the teeth or the body for the service of the Lord. So that's the idea. And after I read this, I thought, well, that's a nice little prayer, the first thing you get up. Because, I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time on my body. When I think about it, how much time cooking and eating and cleaning up and all the other things you have to do because of this body, to take care of this body, a lot of time, a lot of effort. So I was thinking, in the morning you can say, dear Krishna, please accept all of these things that I'm doing to my body today, instead of direct devotional service, please accept them as part of my devotional service to you. Number 10, use of words to describe my qualities. Better move along a little more quickly here. So let me just see what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. One can even use languages or local languages or dialects to glorify or sing the Lord's qualities. So not only Sanskrit. Sanskrit is an elevated language. Of course, we use Bengali, but Bengali has been elevated because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. Sometimes I think, I don't know if this thought has ever entered your mind, but I know that so many devotees, they struggle so much with the Bengali and the Sanskrit. They just can't get it, I know. Many don't. And I was thinking, I wonder if there will be a push at some point for vernacular liturgy in the Hare Krishna movement. In other words, local language. I think, why are we singing in Bengali? Why don't we sing in English? Which, of course, reminds me, in the Catholic Church, it used to be Latin. When I was a kid, it was Latin. I was an altar boy. We had to learn the Latin. But at a certain point, the Second Vatican Council, they changed it. I don't know if it was demanded it or they allowed it, that you can do in your local language. And practically everywhere, I don't think you could find anywhere a Latin Mass anymore. It's a rare thing because people liked it. And I remember many years later, my mother was a very, you might say, very strict, Orthodox Catholic. So I happened to mention to her about, you know, she visited me one time and I went to Mass with her. And I mentioned something about the English liturgy. She said, yes, it's so much better than that Latin, which nobody understood anyway. So I thought, well, I thought it was really interesting because she was such a traditionalist that even for her. So sometimes I think, you know, of course I always think about what's going to happen, you know, ISKCON in 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, you know, what are things going to look like? So it wouldn't surprise me if there was a push at some point, probably going to be a controversy coming up, whether we should just sing these songs in our own language so we know what we're singing. Anyway, here it's, someone may quote this verse, use of words to describe my qualities. And Vishwanath says, local languages and dialects are authorized. Okay, number 11, offering the mind to me. Well, that's probably the most important of all of these, isn't it? We actually have to think about what we're doing. 12, rejection of all material desires. That's not an easy one. 13, giving up wealth for my devotional service. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, one should give up one's articles for use in my festivals. And he also elaborates, one can give to guru and devotees on these occasions. Or another meaning is that one should give up objects unfavorable to bhakti. Number 14, renouncing material sense gratification and happiness. Now this one, Vishwanath says, once you give up enjoying women, bhogasya, and happiness, sukhasya, derived from caring for children. So we'll move right along from that one. That's a pretty heavy thing, huh? Of course, in many ways, you give up happiness if you're caring for children, because it's not all happiness, obviously. A lot of times you expect one thing. Of course, disappointment is one of the great miseries of life, because parents expect certain things from their children, but their children tend to let them down, especially as they get older. And 15, performing all desirable activities such as charity, sacrifice, chanting, vows, and austerities with the purpose of achieving me. So all of these kinds of things. Just like Krishna says, yajna, dana, tapa, these things must be done. So this is similar to that. Charity, sacrifice, chanting, vows, and austerities. Do these things to satisfy me. Yat karoshi, yadushnasi, yasjuroshi. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, one can perform sacrifice using sesame and ghee, or offer food to the brahmanas and devotees as a sacrifice. So this is an example of sacrifice. One should chant japa of the Lord's mantra or names 1,000 or 100,000 times. So then there's more from Vishwanath, but I'm going to stop here. So anybody like to add something, ask something, elaborate on any of these? Dravida Prabhu.
You began with how the surrender is really the first thing, mm-hmm. and then everything follows from that. That's in the first verse, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking of, how, and you talked about offering obeisances. And in the book that the Gopi Purana translated, the Krishna Lila Stava,
mm-hmm. you know, Krishna Lila Stava.
Krishna Lila Stava. And there's so many obeisances in context with Krishna's pastimes. So he gives a little commentary in the beginning there on what the word nama actually means. I think he quotes from Padma Purana mm-hmm. there. And it's very fascinating because he talks about the different levels of obeisances. And here you mentioned the eight-legged phalam, the dandavat. So then it's one of these things where they take that word apart, namaha, you know, my body is not mine, mm-hmm. not mine, it belongs to you. Mm-hmm. And so if you actually think about that when you offer obeisances, it's quite a different mm-hmm. experience. It, not only the words you're offering, but the meaning of the word namaha that you're offering. Mm-hmm. Usually it's namaha, namaha, namaha.
Prangavinda Prabhu?
I was curious always why the second verse is not given by itself, since that verse is quoted by... I found many acharyas, even Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, in the middle of the night, he initiated it, few devotees. In the middle of the night, one of the lawyers, he was about to die. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj gave the story that he went to disturb Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur because he didn't know what to do. And he knocked the door and he says, this advocate, they call advocate, and that is about to die. So, who he belongs to? So he said, he belongs to you. What is your duty towards them to serve and take care and preserve, protect, so then do the needful things. And then he went on, he quoted that verse, Adara Paricha Jaya Mad Bhakti.
So you're saying he quoted the second of this list of five that are all put together.
And I never understand why that verse, Prabhupada quote, as you mentioned, Mad Bhakta Bhuja Bhadika.
Yeah.
That verse is so much quoted by, why not it itself has it? I'm just, maybe I didn't understand.
Have to ask Gopi Purana on the Yeah, sometimes verses are put together. I mean, I can see logically why these are all put together, because as I said, there's a list of 15 things, so it certainly makes sense. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, we have certain verses that are grouped together because there's a whole list. So this is a list, so that's why I think that's why it certainly makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
It's similar like in Bhagavad Gita 6:22, Jamlabha Chaparam Lavam Manmate Naudhikatam.
Right, right.
Prabhupada quote this so much time, and then you tell somebody where the verse is, and they cannot find it because of the whole bunch of verses. And I don't understand but Prabhupada loves that verse, why not put it aside or something?
Yes, over here on the lady's side again.
Thank you, Prabhu, for illuminating and going over each of these wonderful commands or injunctions, whatever. And I'm thinking about what you said about, you know, local languages, what was said, you know, spoken in local languages. And I'm thinking about the vibrational aspect mm-hmm. of what we're chanting when we're chanting Sanskrit. And I don't know about Bengali, too. Perhaps because Mahaprabhu is speaking Bengali. So would that be lost if it was all in English?
Yeah, well, that's certainly going to be part of the argument, the counter-argument, that Sanskrit especially, it has its own potency. And especially when you're... The other thing is, I think of this often, like I recite prayers by the Acharyas sometimes, like in greeting the deities off, or different prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they're written by Rupa Goswami, Srup Damodar. So I'm thinking and I'm hoping that by reciting their prayer, I'm going to get their blessings. They'll be happy that, well, I wrote this prayer, and now this person is saying it, so let me help this person out. So that aspect of it is there. Narottam Das Thakur has written this song, and we're singing it the way he wrote it, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has written Samsara Dhavana Lalita Loka. And yes, there's certainly the potency that comes through in the language in that sense.
And I was thinking that although it's more work, you know, to memorize, have to learn what the meaning is, that engages the mind in a good way while we're singing the song. You know, it's a little extra endeavor, but it seems to go together well. And,
yeah, I mean, I think it is an important thing. And Prabhupada, that came up in that lecture we also that we heard on Sunday. Sri Guru Charana Padma probably said, you're singing, but you don't know what you're saying. So he expressed some dissatisfaction with devotees just saying the words and not knowing what they were saying. So he definitely wanted us to understand what we were saying. But I know myself, even though I put effort into it, still, in one sense, it's not natural. It's like you always have to have this translator going on in your mind at the same time, and it's not, they say that you don't master a language until you think in that language, which is a really, you know, it takes a long time for someone when it's the second language to actually start thinking in that language. So it does take some effort. And I find it's just, for many devotees, it's just the language, it's almost like they're tone deaf, just like some people can't hear musical tones. So for many devotees, Sanskrit and Bengali, they just can't hear it. It just doesn't register at all, even after many years. So they have to somehow... But they can also... I mean, I know, as you're saying, I know there are devotees who they do that. They kind of on a... They're running two tracks. They're singing the Sanskrit and running the English side by side in their mind, you know, which is probably a good deterrent against Alzheimer's in that practice, you know. Krishna consciousness is beneficial on many levels. Madam Atiku?
On the same topic, I was thinking how Prabhupada does mention that even if you don't understand Narottam Das Thakur's bhajans, I forget, he said it was like it acts like a thunder burst or in the heart,
mm-hmm.
the sound vibration, even if you don't understand.
Yeah, so there's benefit even from the sound when you don't understand. He made that point often also.
However, it's also nice. I mean, I feel like there's no need for it to be either this or that. You know, like we sing the English before Guru Puja prayers, yeah? We say the English. It'd be so nice, you know, we see the Ritter Prabhu putting the Sanskrit into English song. I know Kalkanta Prabhu, at Krishna house, they sing, rather than recite the whole Damodarastakam prayers, he has written them in English with the same tune as how we sing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so beautiful, it's so nice to be able to sing it in English. You can put your heart more in there, so
mm-hmm.
we sing the Sanskrit or the Bengali so that we get the mercy, the blessings, like you were saying, of the person who's writing. At the same time, we can sing it in English because we can, you know, feel it. So it'd be so nice that somebody can write the Lotus Feet, Our Spiritual Master, in in the same tune, and so we can sing that in English and then sing it in Bengali. You know, I wish we would do that, so that next generation or generations after is not going to question that, and we can have that already for them, you know, and for ourselves. You know.
Actually, there was an English version of Hari Hari Bipale many years ago. You remember that? Oh Lord, I have spent my life uselessly. I have not served God. In, I don't remember though, but there was one of the original Hare Krishna albums done by devotees that had an English to that, Hari Hari Bipale. So devotees have had that idea for a long time. Yes, Prabhu.
I would like to add my little understanding to this particular debatable topic that you mentioned about what Vishwanath Chakravarti says, the Sufi or whatever.
The Pala Shruti.
About we are singing in Sanskrit and Bengali, all of our songs are in Sanskrit and Bengali. Why not English, why not Spanish, anything else? My take on this would be, from whatever I heard from all the devotees asking the questions as well as giving their view. You are not able to hear? I was just wanting to give my take after hearing what you said from the purport. We know that Srila Prabhupada said, chanting should be heard from the lips of a pure devotee of the Lord. You have mentioned that. As far as possible, chanting should be heard from the lips of a pure devotee. My take is, at least with reference to me, it is very much obvious for me. I don't want to talk about other devotees because it's not for me to speculate on the intentions of the other devotees. But my take is, however much for so many years of devotional service I've been trying to do, I always detect in some corner of my mind some contamination, some desire for some name, fame, glory, some wanting to be recognized, wanting some kind of things. All this contaminates the delivery of whatever I do, the chanting. So therefore, if this could be the case with, if not all the devotees, with many devotees, what happens is when we are chanting the prayers in the temple, like the Sanskrit prayers and the Bengali prayers, because they have been first chanted by the pure devotees, like Narottamdas Thakur or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or the Sanskrit prayers by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, or from the Shastra, like we chant the Govindam prayers, which is chanted by Brahmadeva, our original Acharya in our Sampradaya. So we must understand that on a very private basis, I could compose something in, say, my local language, English, Spanish, or anything. For my personal offering, I could offer that prayer to the Lord individually. So that would satisfy the license given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to chant in the local thing. But because in a public forum like ISKCON, the temple, we should make sure that the vibration which we are chanting, when we chant, say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur song, say, the Sandhya Arati, we are not just chanting the Sandhya Arati, but we are vibrating what originally Bhaktivinoda Thakur vibrated from out of his pure lips and pure consciousness. So we are not authoring the glorification. It's he who has authored the glorification, and by repeating it, we are vibrating, synchronizing, or what you can say in layers physics, we have this tuning fork. We attune ourselves to the vibration of the pure devotee. So I believe that there can be greater benefit by simply repeating the words of the previous acharya, the pure devotee. And if we do compose something for our private satisfaction as offering our thing to the Lord, we can always sing in a private manner to ourselves, but in a public forum, which everyone is mandated to chant, everybody is mandated to study, it should be what the original acharya has composed in whichever language. It happened to be in Sanskrit, it happens to be in Bengali, so we just repeat those things. And by doing that, I think we have stand a greater chance of getting purified and not getting into the risk of adding any other contamination. If I compose some song, and if it is in English or whatever, it is very appealing. And, you know, it is just mandated to be sung by everybody. It may not be the right thing to do. This is my humble view on the matter. And so we could...
I think we get the point.
Yeah.
Prabhu, one thing is there's no controversy about this now as far as I know. I was just throwing out.
You were talking about 50
I was just
later,
throwing out the possibility of the
no,
future.
You mentioned one point, 50 years later, 100 years later, who knows? You know, I think we should avoid the chain. You know, stick to
yeah,
the
well, I don't. No one's pushing for it at yeah. this point, so I don't think we have to worry about it too much. Madan Mohan Prabhu?
There was that devotee who, when Krishna showed up and he was so overwhelmed by seeing Krishna that he wanted to offer him a banana, Vidura's wife, and he offered him the banana peel. And I think Narada Muni, he asked Krishna, why didn't you tell her that you offered the banana peel instead of the banana? And Krishna told Narada Muni, he says, I don't need the banana or the banana peel. He says, I just take the bhava that it's offered him.
Mm-hmm.
So along the same line, you know, there's that aspect also.
I was saying Chaitanya Charitamrita in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada put that in future, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur commented, in future, the people will be interested to learn Bengali understand Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now there is a commentary of Bhakti Charu Swami discussion with Prabhupada that in Navadvip, in spiritual world, the Bengali is permanent language. That's why Lord Chaitanya speaks. For eternal language. It is not from Bengal here. So that's one point. And I was a little funny joke. I remember one day we were sitting in Prabhupada's garden and Bhavananda Maharaj told us a story that he was making a bed for Prabhupada in Bombay. And he told to Prabhupada, Prabhupada asked him, are you doing okay? And he says, yes, Prabhupada, but I feel I did not follow you exactly because you sent me and Jayapataka to Bengal. And he learned Bengali, and I could not learn, and I don't know what to do. I remember he mentioned that. And Prabhupada went around on Japova, and then came back on the same route, and he says, don't worry, I'll make sure Krishna speak to you in English.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.